Welcome to Singer Lewak's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Lewak from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters. Alberta, thank you for joining us today on our Singer Lewak Public Company Practice podcast. We're happy to have you here today to talk about business combination accounting rules and how they impact certain smaller reporting companies. Thank you for joining us today. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you, Mina, and hello, everyone.
So, Alberta, you have been at Singer Lewak for quite some time. To be specific, 20 years, and you're a partner in the public company practice here at Singer Lewak. So, can you tell us more what you do in the public company practice and your area of specialty?
Sure, of course. So as you had said, I do specialize in work involving mostly public companies, and I've worked on a lot of transactions, which include things like mergers, acquisitions, sales of business segments, financings, and IPOs.
Excellent. So today's topic, business combination accounting rules and how they impact certain transactions entered into by small reporting companies. So based on your experience with your clients' business combination transactions and acquisition activities, what would you say are some of the most important factors that companies should keep in mind when they are entering into acquisition of a business?
Well, first, it's important to remember that acquisitions can turn out to be very complex transactions to organize, structure, execute, and integrate, as unexpected situations can always arise, and the accounting for them adds to that complexity. Companies involved in acquisitions are oftentimes dealing with a large list of issues to consider and evaluate, which takes up a majority of their time. And these things can include legal issues, valuation issues, compatible culture considerations, due diligence procedures, and integration planning, just to list a few. In the middle of all that, it's important to not forget the impact of how the transaction is actually going to be accounted for and recorded on the books. The results of this can make or break the successful completion of that transaction.
So what do you suggest? What should companies always thinking ahead and thinking forward if they are even a little bit inclined to do an acquisition at some point? What do you suggest? How do they prepare, or how do they go about getting prepared for this?
Okay, sure. So to start, many times companies enter into agreements to purchase some sort of technology or asset, and they think that they're just acquiring that specific technology or asset. But the reality is, many of these acquisitions, because of the way that they're structured, are actually required to be accounted for as business combinations, just as if the company had purchased a business and not just that single intangible or other asset. And the determination of whether an acquisition is a business combination or just a simple asset acquisition can be a complicated analysis.
So companies need to understand there's a lot of legalities, there's a lot of complicated analysis here, it sounds like, Alberta. So companies need to understand whether the structure of their transactions actually trigger business combination accounting. Is that correct? Is that what I'm understanding here?
Yes, because many IP acquisitions will qualify as business combinations, as may many purchases of groups of assets. When it comes to whether an acquisition actually triggers business combination accounting, there are so many aspects of that transaction to consider. So it's important for CEOs and CFOs to be aware of the potential accounting and reporting impact and to incorporate that assessment into their plan and how it would affect their ultimate goal. There's a significant difference in the accounting and reporting requirements for transactions that are considered just an asset acquisition versus those that are considered an acquisition of a business.
Oh, interesting. I'm sure there's a very blurred line between some of this when companies actually start the process. They don't realize that sometimes, I wonder. Have you seen those cases?
Yes, and let me go into some of the issues that I see. And there are two big issues that come to mind, at least the ones that I have encountered, that cause most of the problems and challenges that derail management's plans or result in unexpected consequences. The first issues are related to SEC reporting requirements, and the second is dealing with accounting for that transaction.
So why, Alberta, is it necessary pre-acquisition to do SEC reporting requirements?
Well, the SEC has many reporting requirements for companies that enter into mergers and acquisition transactions, and these requirements can be quite extensive.
But this is after the fact that you've entered into an agreement? Or is there a due diligence before the fact?
There is due diligence. And after you enter into the transaction, then there are other requirements that the SEC has in terms of reporting for that transaction.
Okay, got it.
So the reporting requirements that I see that a lot of the companies have to deal with tend to revolve around the ability to actually meet the filing requirements, historical financial reporting requirements related to the newly acquired business, and the disclosure requirements to inform shareholders of the expected implications of that combination.
So if there is even a potential implication of the combination, this has to be reported to the SEC?
Depending on the size of the transaction, yes.
So there seems to be a lot of disclosure and a lot of information that I think a company has to report and make available to the SEC and to shareholders in general, correct?
Yes, definitely. And probably the biggest issue for companies to tackle is the audit requirement. More often than not, management hasn't applied that appropriate discipline around the audit requirements for new acquisitions. So it's just something that requires quite a bit of emphasis and time.
So just to clarify, there's an audit requirement for acquisitions?
Generally, yes, depending on the size and scale of that acquisition, relative to the acquiring company. So the larger the acquisition target, the more years that must be audited, and those audits must be filed within what I would consider to be a short period of time, given what management has to go through to get that acquisition target audit complete. And if the target company doesn't already have audits done, or the target company doesn't have the records necessary to complete that audit, or complete that audit in a timely manner, right, it can throw the company out of compliance with its SEC filing requirements in relation to that acquisition.
So it sounds like there's a lot of information required. So from a practical perspective, how would you advise a company on the extent of the audit?
Depending on the size of the acquisition target, the company may have to complete an audit of the target company's financial statements for 1 or 2 years in general. Audits can sometimes take months if there are a lot of accounting considerations. And if the target company is not prepared, they can take even longer than that, as the management team has to get its accounting records in order and in an auditable position. And all during this time, it just takes a large amount of effort and time away from managing the business and the operations itself, and may cost a substantial amount of money.
So if you're thinking of acquiring and you have some type of agreement to acquire that company, can they first start getting their stuff in order, the acquired company?
I would definitely recommend that, because that in itself will meet quite a lot of the due diligence procedures that are required, and just allow both parties to understand whether they have all the necessary information to go through the audit and ultimately meet their goal.
Because that sounds more like a more practical way to do it rather than do it once the company has been acquired, correct?
Yes, definitely. The sad part is that most companies don't go through that process before, and they actually do it after, which again is what makes this whole process complicated and time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Time consuming, and like you said, takes away from running the business.
Exactly.
So that wraps up part one of how business combination accounting rules impact certain transactions entered into by smaller reporting companies, with our guest, Alberta Nazzoli.